Welcome to A Footballer's Life. I'm Adam Peacock, and this week we talk to a player who is based across the ditch, but he's actually from across the ditch and further north, an unlikely source for a footballer in the A-League, Fiji. Roy Krishna is that man, playing at the Wellington Phoenix, and he's one of the most dangerous strikers going around. Beyond that, though, he has an incredible tale to tell. Hope you enjoy it. Roy Krishna.
Here's Krishna, lines one up from distance. Oh! Roy Krishna goes bang from a long way out, and the Phoenix lead 2-0 in Wellington.
And the Fijian Flyers scores a scorcher there, Jesus, that's amazing.
Roy, thanks for the chat, mate. Much appreciated. How are things?
Yeah, good, man. Thank you.
This is a story about a footballer's life, and your one's unique, especially in the A-League. How does a kid in Fiji from the northern part of one of the islands there end up playing professional football? It's a long old story. Where did it start?
Well, first of all, I started playing football when I was quite young, and football was my second sport. I was playing rugby. But when I was in primary school, I was the smallest one in seven, so they used to smash me all the time. I'd come home with a black eye, a broken arm, and mom's like, "Roy, change the sport." And I was like, "Mom, I love this. You know, it's number one sport in Fiji." And my mom told me to play soccer. So from there, I played primary school. I was a sweeper. And then went to secondary school. Then I was a number 10 and played for my secondary school. And we did well in the school competition. And then I got selected for the under 20 Fiji team.
We'll go back though. I want to go back to the rugby days. Mm-hmm. So what were you as a rugby? A little halfback and trying to find little holes in between the big guys?
No, I was a winger.
Winger. Okay. Yes. Winger. You're quick enough, I guess.
Yeah. So they just like kick to me or just give it to Roy and I was gone. So I was one of the skinniest ones.
Until they got you and they threw you as far as they could.
Yeah.
Say,
yeah. So it says, you know, when you get the ball, just don't get caught in the middle. And you know, Fijians, when the big boys in the middle, you just go around them. But when they caught you, you are gone.
Because anyone listening to this, I'm guessing they've got little comprehension if they haven't been to Fiji about how big rugby is there. I was there just before the 2016 Olympics, so they're choosing their seven side for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And like the newspaper, there was barely anything in there. There was like two houses advertised for sale, and the rest of it was news about the Fiji sevens team. It's ridiculous, isn't it, how big?
Yeah,
rugby, especially sevens, is over there.
It's like God, you know. We pray rugby, and like I said, as soon as you're born, you can see small kids running around with plastic bottles to play. And first thing that comes is rugby. So for us, we can't express that feeling, you know. To be part of that is just unbelievable.
How did you even then, with all that, in that environment, and then working out and mum saying, you got to go and play another sport before you're seriously hurt. Did you ever get seriously hurt, by the way, playing?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Broken arm, you mentioned before.
Yeah, I got broken arm, yeah, black eye.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just all hurt.
Oh, yeah, and I was skinny, and they say, you know, you're quite soft, and rugby players are not soft.
Yeah.
So and when you have this kind of thing, and you are young, especially mums, I'm mum's pet, you know, and she's like, Roy, change the sport, otherwise you won't last long. So I was like, okay, mum. So
how did you find football in that environment where everything is rugby, rugby, rugby? How did you find a round ball? And more impressively, how did you get to a level like you are? Because you need people around you to push you, don't you? So how did you do that? How did you improve yourself?
So after changing sport at that time, when I was still young, I didn't know which way to go. And I think my dad, he just knew that I was good in soccer. So he just we used to have these ethnic tournaments back then. And I was probably 12, 13 years old at that time and playing as big men. In the ethnic tournaments, and they're quite rough. So I used
it's open. It's not under 18s.
No. So I was playing with the big boys, you know, the men. And they used to like, who's this small kid running on? So they used to kick me, and my dad was like, "No, get up." And he wasn't. I heard he was a great soccer player, but when he was playing, I was quite young, so I didn't know. But I heard from my uncle and my cousin that he was unbelievable.
Yeah. They grew up in where you grew up in Fiji?
Yeah.
Is it a town over there? Or is it a village? Or?
It's a town.
Yeah.
It's a town. It's probably, I would say, it's maybe 40,000
okay.
people.
So not huge.
No.
Not a stack of people.
Nah. So we have just like one street town. So if you're on the other side, you can just say, hey, mate, on the other side. So yeah, it's quite small, but everyone know each other.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we're all families anyway.
What are the pitches like?
Oh my God, terrible.
Dirt.
Oh yeah, it's just, I don't know if you mean of me.
Yeah, pitches like the grounds that you play when you were playing.
It was a shamble. Like it was a rice field, or like, you know, holes everywhere, potholes. He just play, man. He just loved the sport so much. He just want to play. I think soccer was getting better when we went to school. There was like grass,
yeah.
But in the village, in the town, or where I'm from, Siberia, it was just like mud. Yeah. So you just barefoot. There is no boot that time.
Yeah.
You just go around just kicking it, and you love that.
When did you start wearing boots? Or when Jesus. You started playing at school? Or?
Yeah. My first boot I got when I was, secondary school. That's one of my school teacher. Because we were brought up from very, once a rich family, but like, I'm dead. I was working in sugarcane factory. So. Yeah. We brought up very humbly and very, not, we were not rich or we were not poor. So we were kind of in the middle. So my first boot was given to me by my dad. It was tough life then.
Yeah.
And he was getting, I think, maybe $80 per week.
Yeah.
And in that, to get, buy me a soccer boot, well, like $10. It was money, $10 at the time. So I remember he told me, he's like, Roy, you know, I think he didn't bought a groceries, like, I think rice or something.
Mm.
And he bought me a pair of boots. So we didn't eat rice for that week. We eat like cassava or taro. So it's some great memories back then, you know, I still carry.
So that was when you were, what, 12, 13?
Yeah. 12, 13. My first boot, I remember, I think he shortcut at least to buy me a boot rather than buying rice. So.
Was it, were they good boots?
No, it was a Gold Cup, like plastic. It was plastic soles.
Yeah.
It was, for that time, $10 or so.
better than bare feet, though? Or I prefer bare feet.
Even now, I prefer.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that. Would you now, if they had, for instance, in the A-League, barefoot round, would you like go? Would you start rubbing your hands together?
Oh, man, I'll be honest with you. I love that toe poke.
What?
Like toe poke. So you kick the ball with your toe.
Yeah, with no boots.
No boots.
You mad?
We were brought up like that. So for me... I would love to play with.
So when did it accelerate? When did it go, when did you realize that, wow, I'm actually okay at this? And when did other people realize that, oh, this guy's a talent?
So when I was playing the ethnic tournaments, everyone knew that, oh, there's this kid, you know, he's quite young. He kind of stands out at that time. But I didn't know. So I was just playing ethnic tournaments with my dad.
When you say ethnic tournaments, what is it? That just around Fiji, is it?
No, it's around the village.
Oh, just okay. Yeah,
the village.
Village.
Yeah. So I was quite popular in the village. Like, oh, there's this kid of my, calling my father's name. So, his son is very good. So I was playing the ethnic tournaments, and then I got approached by the district at that time.
Yep.
And my dad said, "Nah, he's too young to play." And that time, the district was like unbelievable players. They were all national reps. So I played for my secondary school, and that's where everything changed. Like I played good, and then all the teachers knew that I had talent. But it was so hard for me to move because there was if you want to get in the national team or get supported by someone, you have to come to the mainland, which is Vitilevu, where Suva, Nandi, and that's where our academy is.
Yep.
So there's no one that time would go to Lambasa to pick players like me, or there was players. So it was hard. And I got lucky enough that my school qualified at that time. If my school hasn't...
In the national tournament.
Yeah, in the secondary school IDC. So that's when, I think I was 18 at that time. So that was my last year at school.
Hmm.
And I got selected, and then we came this side, and I did well. And then the national coach picked me. He's like, we need you for a trial. And then I came. I did try. I think that time was Lee Sterry.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I got dropped.
From the national team?
No, under 20.
Oh, yeah. Under 20s, yeah.
Yeah, so there was 30 people. And he had his certain people. They were in the camp for like a year. So he knows his players. And I was a trialist. So he's like, nah, And I didn't like the camp that time because for me, it was a total change, you know, the food. And it was quite a closed door. And I'm not a person like who stays. There's rules, you know, you can't eat outside food.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? You know, coming from a village into
where there's a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
And then into that environment.
Yeah. Where... So I felt suffocated and I was like, nah. So I just ran. I went to secondary school was still in the camp. So I was like, told my teacher, I'm not going back. He's like, Roy, just go have a crack. So he dropped me, and then he got sacked, Listeri, and then this another coach came in. And he's like, bring all the players that have been dropped. You're on a reselected team. And that's when I got selected. And then under 20, I got a golden boot. I did well, and then I went back. It was quite fast. So from under 20, I jumped straight into the national team.
Yep.
And yeah, things started changing, and then I was scoring goals. And there was this guy from Auckland City, Waitekere, Rex Dawkins. He's like my second daddy now.
Yeah.
So funny story. He came to Fiji. I think always played Fiji, and I was 19. And he came to look at this guy. His name was Osea Buklindi. He's like my local idol.
Mm.
So he came to have a look at a striker, which was him. And I played good in that game. He didn't.
Mm.
And then he's like, nah, I want him. So he took me to New Zealand. He provided with me. I just took one bag, and he just gave me everything: boots, where to stay, a car. You know, he treated me like his son.
Yeah.
And that's how the rest is history.
That is a great story. How did you find it in New Zealand? Totally different. And I know a lot of people from the Pacific region do end up in New Zealand for sporting reasons, namely a lot of rugby union players, and you see a lot of All Blacks who have got Fijian lineage, for instance. I often wonder how, because New Zealand, not just temperature-wise, but culturally as well, is a little bit different to the rest of the Pacific Rim. How did you adjust in that sense? Did you homesick? Were you worried at all? Anxious?
Yeah, I was crying for a month. First of all, that was my second time going overseas. First time was under 20 playoffs, which we went for 2 weeks, and then I went back home. And this time, I was leaving my family for 6 months.
Mm.
And for me, it was a disaster. You know, I was crying in the plane. I came to Auckland. I was in my room all the time. I was calling home. It's like, Mom, I hate this. I want to come back. And the food. But what made it easier, I had two Solomon boys that time. Mm. I know, I hope you know, Comens Manapi.
I know the name, yeah.
He just passed away recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was playing that time for Waitek.
Mm.
And then he was like my daddy, so he knew the island culture, and we were quite humble and very close to our family. So he's like, Roy, just stay for a month. You love it. You know, once you start playing, you know, you're going to drift away. I was like, okay. But I was struggling. I was crying for a month, and I remember my mom and dad's like, no, you're not coming back. You know, this is something going to change our family's life, you know. If you play there, you do well, you're going to go professional. So my dad was my rock at that time.
Did he come visit or?
No, they never.
On the phone?
On the phone. And that time, I was wasn't on great money at that time, so I couldn't call. It was expensive.
Yeah, I bet.
It was expensive. So normally they call me. You know, they're from a village, so it was couldn't call every day. So probably maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks. You know, it was hard.
How did it progress from there? I read something that you had a trial with North Queensland Fury at one stage to get over there. Didn't quite work out.
Yes, yeah, so before Queensland Fury, I went to Wellington Phoenix when Ricky Herbert was there, and I was there for a month. And he never told me. He told my Rex Dawkins, who's my second daddy, he told him, we're looking for a target man, and Roy is too small for the position we're looking for. I was like, all right, fair enough. And I came to Auckland, and then Queensland Fury approached me to come and have a trial. And I came there. They already had five foreigners.
Yep.
So I was the sixth one trialing. And the coach liked me. He's like, Roy, just wait on the list. If someone get injured, you'll be the first one to be called.
Mm.
But, you know, unlucky, no one was injured.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I had a trial with them for a month as well. And I played with Robbie Fowler, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
At that time, he was there, but I didn't know him. It was the funny part. I didn't know who he was until I went back to Auckland. And then I was like, hey, you know who you were playing with in the preseason games? And I was like, no, he's the god of Liverpool. And I was like, oh my God.
Who's Liverpool?
To be fair, I'm a Barcelona fan. So
I was going to say that. Look, what was your intake of football as a kid? Like on television, like so many kids, for instance, kids that grow up in Australia, they've got 8 channels of football to choose from. They've got YouTube. They've got everything. That's different time, obviously, when you grew up, but you still had televisions at the very least. How did you come to like football on television? Or you just didn't know? You just played?
I just played. I just didn't know. I didn't know what was going on. I was just playing.
They didn't know who Robbie Fowler was, really?
No. But to be fair, we had TV in my village.
Yeah.
But at that time, internet was not popular.
Yeah.
So we didn't watch, like, EPL games in my village. So probably if sevens are going on, they obviously they broadcast, so we could watch on like otherwise if you want to watch a game you have to pay.
Yeah.
If you watch sevens, they're broadcast, so you can watch on local channel. So we just knew what was rugby, nothing about football at that time.
So you got back to New Zealand. How did it then come to get the actual contract with Wellington Phoenix?
So I came back, I played 5 seasons with Whitehead, and then I felt like I needed a change. You know, I was very comfortable there. You know, I was playing every week, scoring goals. And that year, we didn't qualify for the FIFA Club World Cup, and Auckland City did, which they are our rivals.
Yep.
So I was like, okay, so the opportunity came, and I grabbed it with both arms. I was like, okay, I'm going to Auckland City. So I signed, I played 2 games. We went to the FIFA Club World Cup. I scored in the game. Mm-hmm. And then we lost 2-1, obviously. And then we came back and we had, I think Christmas break. So I was in Fiji with my family, and my manager called me. He's like, hey, Roy, Phoenix want to sign you. I was like, look, daddy, I know what happened last time, because that time I was not happy with Ricky because he never stayed in front of me. So
yeah,
I was like, okay, I'm not going there for trial. It's like, Roy, it's not trial. They want to sign you because Paul Afford got injured. So I was like, okay. And yep. I'm on a break. So it's like, don't worry. You know, they know that you are on a break and now you're coming from amateur. The training is not that great. So I came down and America's like training, and he was impressed with me from day one. And it's like, Roy, you're going to be in the bench. And I was like, okay. So just after that, Andy Merrick gave me a chance, and after that, I just took it with both arms.
And you'd suit the way that Ernie Merrick thinks about football, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Just
you love playing under him?
Yeah, he's one of the guys who changed my football as well, you know. But at the time, I was still, you know, you're coming from a match, you're still quite laid back, you know. Football is, I thought I knew football at the time, but when you come professional, it's totally different. You know, you got to eat right, and when I was playing a match, where they give you the ball, you just express yourself. Yeah. And when you don't have the ball, you just like relax. But here, you have a job off the ball and with the ball. So for me, it was quite different, and Ernie Merrick changed that.
The Knicks have been good to you, would you say? You've enjoyed playing there for a very long time, and you've leading goal scorer, aren't you, at the club?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet. I think I don't know if I'm 2 or 1 behind.
I think it's 1, actually. Yeah, 1. I thought you were going to break it last year, but it didn't quite happen. But
no, I was so shocked. Last season, don't want to talk about last season.
Don't.
Yeah, it's just one of those times where you just kind of don't want to enjoy what you love. And it was quite a tough moment. But I was just really proud that my family's, and I would say that time was my girlfriend was really supportive.
Yeah, helped out. I do have to ask you, you were going to go to the MLS, weren't you, at one stage?
Yeah.
But then it fell over.
Yeah, it just didn't. Phoenix and MLS were not on the same page.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I wanted to go, and like I said, I had a contract. And they tried to come to a mutual agreement, which Phoenix was unhappy. And like I said, you know, things happen for a reason. And, you know, they gave me a contract, and I said, okay, and I'll just stay for 1 more year. But, you know, they were supportive. They were supportive, and they understand my role. And like I say, I can't just leave because I had a contract. So,
yeah.
But things happen for a reason, and I know, you know. I just know football is a cruel world. You know, sometimes it goes your way and sometimes it doesn't. So you just got to buy through it. But like I say, I'm happy. I got one more season here, and I just want to do the best for this club, and hopefully we can not be just like one of the teams that just play every week, and you know, just need the respect before I leave this club.
Yeah, outside looking in, it just didn't look like you gelled with the manager last season. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
But it's different being around that. Like, you've seen Ernie Merrick, you know how good it can be. You're hoping under Mark Rudin it's going to be good as well. But it's the ups and downs of football, huh?
Yeah. Like, coaches are there for a reason, and you know, you get to know them, and you want to fight for them. And last season, he wasn't, for me personally, he wasn't the right, you know, he was just not treating me right, you know, in a sense. And yeah, I was just not in a right place when he was around, and we had some ups and downs. It's just not good to talk on radio.
Not too much. Yeah, we'll leave it. We'll leave it in the past then. We'll leave it in the past. What do you want for football in Fiji in the future? Are you still very much connected with it back there, or is it something that you think you'll play, and then after you play, you'll go back there and really help it?
Yeah, look, I hope, you know, when we say, you know, we're looking for players, normally not only in Australia, in New Zealand as well, when they say, oh, we want players, soccer players, think of Brazil, you know, all these Europe big names. You know? But we have talent back in Oceania, like Solomon Island, Fiji, Vanuatu, PNG. Just need someone to go out there and look and find that. I'm telling you right now, there is a lot that are knocking on the door. And for me, playing in this league, now everyone watch A-League, and they're a big fan of this league. And I just hope that, you know, rather than agents going to Brazil or to Europe to look for players, if they can go to Fiji or Solomon and get them for cheap, and they'll do a job. I'm telling you, and I'm very confident. But for me, personally, that's my goal, is to go back home and create that path, because for me, coming through that path, it wasn't easy, especially leaving family at the young age. And you just go home and tell a family whose kid is 12 years old, you tell, like, look, I'm taking this guy to Australia or taking this guy to Europe, the family will say, no way, you're taking my kid at 12. So I want to break that wall. Look, there's life in football. Because in Fiji, people think football will not take you anywhere. There's nothing. You need to study, get a proper job.
Or play rugby.
What? Everyone can't play rugby. You know, they have this flavor, you know, which is naturally talented. And But I'm talking about, like, you know, at a young age, you need to... Our families are very close. Even now, if you are like 40 or 50-year-old man, you still live with your family. So there's a massive bond between. So I want to break that when they are young, 12, because that time the kid can go and enjoy themselves and learn more. By the time they're matured, like 19, 18, they'll rip the league apart. So I want to go home and tell that to the family, especially in Inaki. Look, there's life in football, and to grow the football, especially in Fiji. At the moment, I think we are coming with the grassroots, but it's just ups and down. You know, there's moments where they're doing something, and there's moments it's just cold.
Can your parents watch you now on the television? Can you watch? Can they watch the Wellington Phoenix and their son play?
Oh, they haven't watched me live. They haven't watched me live because it's quite cold in Wellington, and my mom and dad, especially, like, they hate cold. And
yeah. I felt a good mix.
No, so but I'm maybe planning to bring them this season.
But can they watch on television back in Fiji?
Yeah. They can watch
your games.
Yeah, so which is good. But my mom can't watch me live play, because if I get kicked, she'll just have a heart attack or something.
Tell her it's not rugby. It's not as rough.
No, but still, your mom is mom. Even now, when I get kicked, I broke my pinky finger, and she's like, "You okay? Come home. I look after." It's like, "Mom, it's just my pinky finger." She's great. Yes.
At least she cares. That's the main thing, Roy.
I know,
Roy. Mate, your story is fascinating. We could talk for much longer, but we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for telling your story, your football story, and best of luck with whatever's to come with it.
Cheers, man. Thank you. It was a pleasure. Cheers.